Now, this is the thing that we, most of us here, are going to have to get in the habit of doing. This is the thing that most of us are trying to learn to do, and this is the thing that we'll be starting to do more than ever next month. So it is very important to each one of us that we know how to do this and to how to start to do this. First of all, we have one little thought for you, and that is to make yourself clear. So many times we try to tell someone something and we don't even understand it ourselves, do we? And it's very hard to tell somebody something if you don't understand it yourself. For instance, if you get up here sometime and you don't quite understand how you're going to start things out or how to get things movement, you can get yourself in quite a muddle and people don't understand what you're really talking about or what you're saying. So the thought we want to bring, as we mentioned, is soul winning. And the most important thing is to make yourself clear. And in Corinthians, it tells us to set the utter words easy to be understood. It tells us this in the Bible. In 1 Corinthians 14:9, if you have your Bible there. Except you utter words easy to be understood, how shall it be known? For ye shall speak unto the air. So this is one of the most important things for us to do, is if you're going to talk to somebody, if you're going, don't matter what it's about, whether it relates to church work, whether it relates to professional work, everyday life, make sure you know what you're going to talk about. It reminds me, I heard a fellow say one time that this friend remarked that the preacher they had, who often lost himself in a notion of oratory. In other words, the preacher used such big words nobody could really understand what he was saying anyway. And says that man can go deeper, stay down longer, and come up drier than anyone I've ever heard. So this is very true. We can do this thing, and we lose people by doing these very things. And this might be a little humorous to some of us, but I read this little article. It says in a courtroom, a judge was listening to the arguments in a divorce suit, and then said to the defendant, "I've decided to give your wife $40 a month alimony." And the husband's face brightened as he replied, "That's nice of you, Judge. I'll flip her a couple of bucks myself." So you see how we can be misunderstood? When the judge says, "I'm going to give your wife $40 a week alimony," he didn't mean he was going to give it, but he was going to see that the man paid it. And, of course, the man misunderstood him. Now, this is very true when we go out to win soul for Jesus Christ, that so many times we are understood. In other words, when we go out, we shouldn't make these people feel that, oh, they're trying to get me to come down to that church. They want me to be a member of that church. They want me to get involved down at that church. This is not the point at all. The point is all that we want to bring the story of Jesus Christ to other people and the story of salvation and how they might be saved and what wonderful blessings they can have by being in the family of God. In Matthew 10:16, we read, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as servants and harmless as doves." Now this is found, as we say, in Matthew, the 10th chapter, in the 16th verse. He says, "I am going to send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves." Now you know, sometimes we feel this very way when we start out, don't we, to talk about Jesus to other people. We feel that we are sheep. We feel that we are, we just can't talk to the person. We don't have the nerve to walk up and knock on that door and present somebody some literature about Jesus and tell them the story about Jesus. We just don't have it. And the Bible says, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as servants and harmless as doves." So we have to be wise. The approach to soul, to winning others to Christ, is very important, how we do it and how we go about it. First of all, your attitude. You have to have the right attitude. Now, if you don't have the right attitude, you might as well stay at home. Was you ever given a bunch of pamphlets or a little stack of pamphlets, and they say, "Now, you go out and pass these out. This is your street, and you go do this." And you say, "Gee whiz, look at that bunch of pamphlets. I'll sure be glad when I get rid of them." Well, now, is that the right kind of an attitude we should start out with? No, it isn't. We should look at those pamphlets. And in most of those pamphlets, I'd say in all those pamphlets, or we wouldn't be giving them out, there is a story, there is a message for the person that we are going to be given to. And we should be all enthused. Oh, wonderful, I have a chance of going out and giving this to somebody, and maybe one soul might be won to Christ. This is the way we should look at it. It is a privilege, and we are going out to do something for someone. We feeling and thinking causes people to be interested or turn them off. Just our attitude, our feeling, our interest can really turn people off, or it can really bring them to Christ. We are not out to make a great big church here and to get a lot of members. That's not really the idea. We like this, and there's not a one of us that wouldn't be proud of it if we could do it. Although if we do it, we'll have to give God the credit. We have to remember that. But the most important thing is to get the word of Jesus Christ out to others. It doesn't matter really if a person says to you, I go to church. I teach a Sunday school class. Well, first of all, are they teaching the truth? Do they have the truth? So it is important that we get our message to them and our information to them, and maybe in some way, if they are not teaching the truth and don't have the truth, that we can bring the truth to these individuals. Where do we get wisdom? Where do we get this wisdom to go out and to talk to others about Christ? Well, the only place we can get it, now I can, and I know this has happened, you can walk up to another individual, well, how do you go about this? Well, this individual says, well, I go about it this way. But maybe this way doesn't suit your attitude, your looks, or anything like that. Maybe it won't work for you. The place to go is to the Bible. Now, we all remember very well in the Bible of how one certain person asked for something, and God asked him what he would like to have. And we know what he told him he would like to have. Let us turn to 1 Kings, the 3rd chapter. 1 Kings, the 3rd chapter. And along about the 5th verse, we find there that Gibeon, the Lord, appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God asked, what shall I give thee? Now here God asked Solomon, says, what shall I give thee? Now, I believe that if God asked Solomon what he could give him, that whatever Solomon asked for, I would say into a reasonable length, or a reasonable thing, that God would have given it to him. Now, if he'd asked for riches, I believe God would have given him riches. If he'd asked for great wealth in other ways, he would have given it to him. But what did Solomon here ask for? We find that he asked for something that was very important and something that pleased the Lord very much. And it goes on here, and Solomon said in the 6th verse, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth, and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to set upon his throne. It is this, as is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king, instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. But I know not how to go out or come in. And then we go to the 9th verse, and he says, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad, for who is able to judge this thy so great a people? So we find here that Solomon asked for wisdom, and God gave him wisdom. He couldn't have asked for anything better, because God was well pleased. And the 10th verse says, and the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. So this is where we should go. We should go to God in prayer and ask for wisdom and ask for help as we go out to pass these tracts out, as we go out to call upon others. Yes, attitude keeps many Christians from winning souls. It can also win souls, but attitudes also keep many from winning souls to Christ. It's their attitude. We have to have the right kind of an attitude to win souls. If we go out with a defeated attitude, we might as well stay at home. There's no point in going out with a defeated attitude. Have you ever done anything and done it well if you felt like you were defeated before you started? Well, I can give you an example of this. I never professed to be much of a singer. And there's a couple people now trying to get me to sing a duet. And I believe this would be the worst mistake that I ever made in the church, is get up and sing a duet. But they've almost got me convinced that I'm good enough to do it. Now, I don't know what's going to come out of this. So if I get up, please, smile and say you like it. Don't laugh at me if I hit the wrong note. But you can see what I mean here. We're asked to do things that you don't feel you can do, but people sometimes try to talk you into it. And they do talk you into it. A good, smooth talker sometimes can talk you into doing a lot of things you don't want to do. So we don't dare to have a defeated attitude as we go out trying to win others unto Christ. This would be a very, very bad attitude to have. People remember, you know, about 87% of the things that they see. 87% of the things they see, they remember. Now, they can see your attitude, actually, as well as they can hear it. Because you can go up either with a grumpy face, and like Lee said, you can take more effort. What was it, Lee? I don't want to repeat that because I heard it changed over the week. But it takes just as much effort anyway to frown. It takes more effort to frown really than does to smile. And everybody likes a nice smile. And I don't know, I think Peggy here always seems to me like she's always smiling. Now maybe she don't feel like it, but she's always usually smiling. And this is wonderful when you can smile, because we know lots of things are not going right. But as you walk up to the people to tell them about Christ, and you have a smile on your face, and you act like you want to talk to this individual about something, they're going to listen to you. But if you walk up there with a scared look or a defeated look, and they're going to say, well, gee, I wonder what this guy wants. I remember one time when we was passing out tracts several years ago, and I started into this house, and he told me about it later on, because now he's one of the most active members in the Lawrenceville Church. And as I started up the sidewalk, this fellow said to his wife, he said, I wonder what watchtower that is coming now. And I don't know how I looked to him coming up there. Maybe I looked like a watchtower or something. But this is the comment that he made. And this was Charlie Graham of the Lawrenceville Church. And he's one of the most active members there now. So you see, you never know what might come out of it. And if we can only find out sometimes a friend, an individual, what they like to do, we can sometimes win them that way. This same person one time, he went up the lake, and of course, as I said, it wasn't no trouble for me to go to the lake, but he invited me up to go fishing. This was before he was very active in the church. He wasn't even a member. So I went up and went fishing with him one evening. And I'll never forget, as long as I live, we sat out there in a boat and got to talking. We was having a real good time. We wasn't catching any fish. And he pulled out a cigarette and offered me one, and I said, no. I said, I don't use those. I said, you know, I think that's one of the silliest things a person can do. I said, now, I'm not condemning you for smoking, but I said, do you ever stop to think you put that thing in your mouth and you light it up and go, and I said, what does it gain anything? And he looked at me kind of funny, and you know, right after that, he quit smoking. He said he got to thinking about that, and he said it was silly. So this is what I mean by attitude. Now, you can tell people these things without criticizing, without condemning, without making them mad. Now, this is the thing that we have to do in order to be good Christians and to be good soul winners and witnesses for God. Also, we want to go out with a disappointed attitude. Now, this is the thing so many of us today, we even get in our churches. And I get this very same thing. Now, I could get a little disappointed looking at the attendance this morning, but we don't dare to do this. We don't dare to show this to anybody. So I put it off this way this morning, that I know there's a lot of sickness around. Now, there's a lot of flu. But I didn't say flu, I said a lot of sickness. So, you get the point? Sickness. You can be sick in many ways. You can be sick because you don't want to come to church. You can be sick in other ways. In other words, they tell about one man thought they ought to sue the aspirin people because he said that the aspirin absolutely will not work on Sunday morning. Every other morning, the aspirin will work. You can get up, you go to work in the morning, and you got a terrible headache, and you take two aspirins, and you go on to work. But you try it on Sunday morning. You get up some Sunday morning, you got a real bad headache, and you don't feel good. You take two aspirins, and it don't help your headache a bit. Time church comes, you're going to stay at home. You're too sick. Now, why do people do these things? I don't know. But, yeah, it's right up here. So we think about it so many times. But we don't dare to have a disappointed attitude. Many give up too quick. Never give up. You might go over and talk to a fellow 15 times. Now, I think Bill was mentioned today about Dick Smith one time. He had a habit of going along the road and he'd see somebody out in the field even. He'd stop and go over and talk to it. But he went into this one fellow's house one time and I guess the fellow about cussed him and told him to get out. Well, it wasn't too long after that this fellow got real bad sick, and who'd he send for? Dick Smith. He sent for it. He wanted to talk to him then, see? So never be disappointed when we talk to somebody. Never give up on them. Always treat them nice and smile, and maybe one of the times you ask them to come, that it will be the time that they will come to church with you. So it's up to each one of us to have this attitude, to have the right attitude, and to pray is one of the most important things we should do. We should pray before we start out, to hand out tracts, to call on other people. This is one of the most important things, and I've tried this and I know it works. If you'll just pray. You don't know how many times, you know, I've often, people tell this, I think, to any maybe minister that gets up, they say, I don't know how you get up there and talk like that and not be nervous. Well, many times we're just as nervous as you would be before we get up here. But we pray a little bit to God, and he gives us strength to get up here, and he gives us words to say sometimes when we sometimes don't know what we're going to say next. I know he has done this for me, because I know there was no, when I was a young person, there was no backward person than I. When I was in high school, the girls had to ask me for a date, believe that or not. Yeah, I was that backward. Now, no kidding. I was captain of the basketball team. And you know, the girls always wanted to go with the captain of the basketball team. And I just still didn't have nerve enough to ask one of them for a date. They'd come up and ask me. So, and here you wonder how you get up here and talk like this. Well, it has to be something besides just myself. It has to be something that God has given me and helped me along with. And we say so many times we're too nervous to go out and call on other people. And one person said tonight that when he got up here, his hands just shake. Well, that's true. But I had two old ministers tell me one time, they've been in the ministry a long time. They said, the day that you get up to give a sermon and you're not a little bit nervous, you better quit. Because you're over the hill, they said. Because they said, as old as we are, before that sermon starts, we are a little bit nervous too. In other words, you lose your enthusiasm, you lose something there, the spirit there, if you're not a little bit nervous when you get up in front of a group or you go up to talk to somebody about Jesus Christ as your Savior. No, we have to be led by the Spirit, and the Bible tells us this. Turn to Acts, the 8th chapter, Acts 8:26. And it says in 8:26, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. So here we find the angel of the Lord speaking to Philip. He says, Philip, I want you to rise, go down to the desert. There's someone down there I want you to talk to. Well, this is the very same thing the Lord's saying to each one of us here tonight. He said, I want you folks to go out and call on others. I want you to get up. Get away from that boob tube for a couple hours and go out and call on somebody else. That's what I want you to do. You see, it isn't just our missionary director here. It isn't just myself. It isn't just the church that's asking you really to do this. But it's the Spirit of God working through these people that asked you to go out and call on others, just like this angel here. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem. Now Philip had been talking to great crowds, large crowds. But yet God thought one person was worth going down into the desert to try to explain the scripture to and to win a soul. One person. Now if the whole group here could only win one person to Jesus Christ this year, it would be worth it. It would be worth every hour we put in, every penny that we give to the church. It would be worth it all. Just one person. And this is what we have to do. And the Bible tells us a multitude of your sins will be lifted if you can save one soul. And we all know we need, we might say, any of the breaks we can get in getting some of our sins removed, because we all have so many of them. Well, we look in John a moment. John, the 16th chapter and the 13th verse. John 16:13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So we find here again, go to the Bible. It says, and the Spirit is going to lead you. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. So we will be guided. We will be given strength, and we will know how to talk to others and to treat other people as the Bible tells us to do. In Acts, the 20th chapter, Acts 20, 21. We find here testifying both to the Jew and also to the Greek, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. So here we find another. Going by the Spirit. I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. So see, we find that the people in the Bible went out, and they were told to do certain things, and they said, we go, but we don't know what's going to happen to us. We don't know what will come of this, but we're going to trust in God. We're going to trust that the Spirit will help us. And the 23rd verse says, say that the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide in me. So it is indeed gratifying to know that we can go to the Bible. We should use Scripture to win others. Now, each one of us should know a little bit of Scripture when we go out to talk about Jesus with someone. And it's very easy to have favorite Scriptures in the Bible and memorize them. Know where they're found. Each one of us can have those. It's not hard to learn. I can remember back many years ago that one Sunday school teacher had her pupils to remember 100 Bible verses. And they remembered them. And after they were grown, many, many years after that, they still remembered some of those verses that they learned when they was in their Sunday school class. So see, we can learn Scriptures. You don't have to know the whole Bible, but learn some of the most important Scriptures about Jesus, about salvation, and then remember where they're found. And if they ask you, you can go through a few of these Scriptures. And it's amazing if you can go through a few Scriptures of what people will think you know, where maybe you don't know everything as you should. I remember one time at the store where we worked before this last one, we had a little lunchroom in the back of the store, and they had hired a new girl, and she came in, and we started to eat lunch, and we always give thanks before we eat. But anyway, she started talking about the Bible, and she started to convert us right away. And so I mentioned two or three Scriptures back at her, and she said, you'd by any chance be a minister? Now, I hadn't quoted too many Scriptures till she asked me this. I didn't have to tell her I was. She knew I was. But would you by any chance be a minister? So you see, by quoting Scripture, by knowing a few Scriptures, it will tell people right off what you are. They will know immediately. In Romans we find, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith come by hearing, and that is found in Romans 10:7. So this is what we find. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we know that in Mark 5:19, it tells us something very important there. Go home to thy friends and tell them what great things the Lord hath done for thee. Now this was speaking here of the demon-possessed man that Christ had miraculously cured, who was wild, who run amongst the rocks, who rent himself upon the rock and who was possessed by the devil. And Christ cured him. No one else could cure him. And he said, go home and tell thy friends what great things the Lord hath done for thee. So we are supposed to go out and tell people what great things the Lord has done for us. Now, if you can't go out and tell somebody tonight, tomorrow, or next week what the Lord has done for you, I advise you not to go. If there isn't one of you here tonight that can't go out and tell what the Lord has really done for you, I advise you not to go out and try to pass out literature. There is something wrong in your life. You are missing something. You're not getting the thing that you should be getting from this book right here. Because each one of us has many, many blessings. Many, many things that God has given to each and every one of us. Don't depend upon feelings. Use God's word at all times. When witnesses talk about Christ, not the church. Talk about Christ, not the church. Of course, we've got to let them know what church we're from if we expect to feed them more of the word. We've got to let them know where they can come, but we should talk about Christ and not the church as much. In John 14:6, John the 14th chapter and the 6th verse, Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now these words mean a lot to each and every one of us. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now nobody's going to get into the kingdom if you tell them, come up to the Church of God of Pleasant Hill, the Abrahamic faith, come in the door, sit down in the pew, that's all you have to do. You're going to be saved. You'll be in the kingdom. This church isn't going to get anybody in the kingdom. Because the Bible tells me different. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. How many times have we sat at home in the evenings and listened to the radio or watched the television? And the man say, now you people at home, if you want to be saved, all you got to do is go over and lay your hand on the television or the radio. And you can be saved too. I've heard this said by ministers of the gospel. Nothing more could be wrong than that. It isn't going to save anybody to walk over and lay your hand on that radio or that television and say, I want Jesus Christ. And that's as far as it ever goes. And chances are that's as far as it will ever go in that person's life. We have heard others say on the radio to go to a minister, confess unto your minister, confess unto God, be baptized, be immersed. This is the way to Jesus. Now, this is the way it should be done. We should go and tell others. Go and tell a friend. I think I told you about this once before, but there was two lawyers, real good friends, and the one was going to take a trip. And one was a Christian and the other one was not. And the one who was going to take the trip was not the Christian. So this Christian man thought, well, I'm going to him with a boat and see him off, and sometime in the process of going to the boat with him and helping him with his luggage, I'm going to mention to him about Jesus Christ. But you know, it just didn't seem like the opportune time came along. It seemed like they was in a hurry to get on the boat and the luggage on, and first thing you know, they talked a little bit and a whistle blew and it was time for the boat to leave, and he never got an opportunity to tell his friend about Jesus Christ. And that was the last time he ever saw his friend. Before he came back from this trip, he died. And he lost an opportunity. Now we wonder sometimes, when we lose these opportunities, when we have an opportunity like that, is that person, am I accounted for that person? Now it makes you stop and think, because this same thing happened to us. We had good friends. We did mention to them about Christ. We did mention to them about church and things like that, but we never could seem to win them to church. And then one Friday night, we went down to their house, and we talked to them and visited with them, and Sunday evening they were both dead, killed in an airplane crash. Now you wonder about these things. Did I work hard enough on those people? Did I say the things I should have said to them? Did I miss an opportunity? How many opportunities have each one of us missed but not saying the thing that we could say when the opportunity time was right before us? No, we should never talk about sin, because everybody has sin. That is one thing we should leave out when we're trying to win souls. Talk about salvation. That is the thing we should talk about. Salvation. In 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. This is what we can talk to them about. Oh, they say, I'm not, how many times have we heard this? I'm not good enough to go to church. I do too many bad things. All right, we can turn to this scripture and we can tell them here. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You can start a new life. This thing can all be new to you. The things you done yesterday, the things you done last week, those bridges are all left behind. It doesn't matter what we did. If we will only ask forgiveness and try to do that which God would have us to do. Only Christ can set a man free from sin. Church membership can't do it. Only Christ can do it. We turn to John, the 8th chapter, and the 32nd verse. John 8:32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Isn't that wonderful? Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's all it takes. Know the truth. When you know the truth, and then you are going to do the thing that you should be doing, and it is going to make you free. And the 34th verse says, and Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. This is the message we bring to others. That Jesus Christ can do away with all their sin, they can have a new life, and they can start all over again. This is all brought about as we go to win souls with a pleasant attitude. No one wants a sour, sad, complaining religion. Now this is something that's very true. You know, you hate to go up to somebody with a big, long, frayed face and all sad-like and say, oh, would you like to come to my church Sunday? That isn't quite the way you do it. Hey, fella, how about coming to my church Sunday? See how many wonderful blessings you'll gain by being there. We don't have to be a sour bunch to be religious, to go to church. And I don't know, sometimes I feel like maybe I use a little bit too much humor in church or try to be happy in church, but I feel this is the way we should be. It just tickles me to death to be in church on Sunday morning. And if I miss on Sunday morning, there's an emptiness there that I can feel. That things just are not right when you don't go to church on Sunday morning. You should be happy to go to church, and we should be happy to ask others. Well, there's a lot of way we can go. You know, you wouldn't want to go call on anybody real early in the morning. That'd be a bad time to go out and try to win a soul real early in the morning. Maybe get them out of bed or just after they get up when they're grumpy. And, of course, we might be grumpy ourselves because we just get out of bed. That'd be bad. You can walk up to somebody, and if they're busy doing something, you can't say, hey, fella, quit that a minute. I got something I want to tell you. So we got to go at it with wisdom. We got to go at it in a wisdom way. We go at it like the Scripture tells us to, and ask God for wisdom, and He will direct us on how to approach others. Never be critical. Never argue. Be kind. Gee, I got a lot I'd have to quit right now. How about the rest of you? Oftentimes we're critical. We shouldn't be. We oftentimes argue. My wife says I'm the worst one about that there is, to argue. Always want to argue. But you know something? I found this out through the years. I can't argue by myself, and I do get in arguments, and I don't know how it's happening. So somebody else must like to argue a little bit too. But don't argue. This is very bad to do this. And be kind. Just remember that honey will draw more flies than a barrel of vinegar. Just a little bit of honey will draw more flies than a barrel of vinegar. That's all we have to remember. In Matthew 9:37, Matthew 9:37, then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers unto the harvest. This is the situation that we are in today. The harvest truly is plenteous. We are in a generation right now that knows less about the church and Christ than any generation we've ever had. Now, you can't blame entirely this generation for this, because I believe that the young people, I'm talking about those who are just now being married and starting to raise families, a lot of those are those who were raised by babysitters. Now, that is the reason our generation is like it is today, I believe. The war came along, World War came along, the men all went to the army, the women all went to work in the shop, and that left babysitters with the children. And then, you know, we had inflation, and the money was so good, and the man and the wife both got to working, and they geared up their living on the husband and wife both working. So the babysitter still continued, and they continue today in so many homes. Those are the ones who have raised most of our children today, is the babysitters. And this is the trouble some right now with our generation. In the 9th chapter also, and the 35th verse, and says, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. This is what Jesus did. He went about the cities teaching, preaching, and healing. Now, in a way of speaking, this is the same thing that we are to do. We are to speak to people. We are to teach people. And if someone is sick or someone is hungry, we are to take it, the things that they need. But people don't do this today anymore. Not too long ago in the paper, there was an old couple in Maryland, Massachusetts, up in there someplace. They found them both dead in their home. No one had ever looked in on them for days. Old people. People living right next door. After a few weeks not seeing anybody around, they decided maybe they better investigate. And they found them both dead. So we find that this is true today of our lives. We don't have time. We know that the harvest is great, the laborers are few. And there's a lot of unfilled, I wouldn't say a lot, but there is some unfulfilled prophecy yet today to be fulfilled in this Bible. But there's an awful lot of it that has been fulfilled. And therefore, the scripture like we read this morning, behold, I come quickly. And this could happen at any time. So if we have a friend, if we have a loved one who does not know Jesus Christ, if we have villagers, if we have neighbors who do not know Jesus Christ, we may not have too much time to tell them. Would you like to have their blood upon your head? Maybe you was the one that should have told them or would have told them. I have a little article here, what I could do if I wanted to. If I wanted to, I could help make this church the most workingest church in this area. If I wanted to, I could profit more from the sermon by not resenting the truth when it applies to me. You know, there's a lady at Lawrenceville, she's just comic, and I just think she's great. And one Sunday night after the sermon, she said to me, she said, "Fred, that was a fine sermon." She said, "That just fit everybody in here but me." And she was joking very much about it, but she laughed and went on out. But this sometimes is what we do. It says, if I wanted to, I could use my efforts to help promote the greatest possible harmony in the church. If I wanted to, I could visit troubled members and possibly find ways of helping them. How many times do we have a troubled member that we know is troubled, yet nobody makes an effort to say, is there something I could do? Would you like to talk? This is the thing that we should do. If I wanted to, I could give back to the Lord each day as I have been prospered, thereby helping to proclaim the gospel unto all the world. If I wanted to, of course, this all depends upon what I want to do about it. I have the ability to be an honored servant of the Lord. But the question is, what do I really want to do? This is a question that we can ask ourselves tonight. What do I really want to do? So many times we like to do the things that we want to do. But I think God has different plans for each one of us here tonight, or you wouldn't be here. And I say God bless each one of you tonight for being here, and may the Lord bless you in the coming days.